This is News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards. He'll be in tomorrow night, revved up and ready to go. Until then, though, I'm here for the next few hours, and I wanted to talk about, in this segment, a story that we touched on a little bit earlier, but it's really something to me. So, a Toronto Shoppers Drug Mart, one not far from where I'm sitting, put an ad on LinkedIn asking for unpaid volunteer workers. And you had to be responsible for assisting with various tasks and providing support to staff, helping customers find products, restocking shelves, organizing inventory, and maintaining a clean and organized store environment. In other words, it sounds like the job of someone who actually works at a Shoppers Drug Mart. Now, they have put up a notice on the LinkedIn ad now saying that they're no longer accepting applications. Apparently, there was a huge backlash, one that should not come as much of a surprise. The pharmacist who put the ad on LinkedIn said, listen, I have a full staff, but I get so many requests for volunteer positions. When I was on LinkedIn one day, I thought, well, I'll put this up there. And I saw that there's a little button you can press and make it a volunteer position. He pressed that button, got a lot of backlash, and now he says, I can't take it down. It won't let me take it down. So I'm not sure that I'm buying that whole explanation, but let's bring in employment lawyer and associate at Samfiro to Mark in LLP, Travis Carpenter. Travis, welcome to News Talk Tonight.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me.
So, volunteer positions, I've heard about a lot of unpaid jobs in media. You come in and you shadow somebody for a week or 2 weeks, maybe, a bit longer, but you actually get some on-air experience or you get to write an article for the newspaper, whatever it might be. That has been fairly well established, but a volunteer position at a retail store seems a little unusual.
Yeah, Richard, it's this isn't the first time that large corporations have tried to get away with stuff like this, and it's a little more common than you think, but you have to bring it back to sort of those first principles of what an employee is, and I think for a lot of people, what an employee is quite obvious in a lot of scenarios, and a lot of people here, were giving backlash saying he's obviously an employee. So, in Ontario law, in order to be classified as an employee, you have to look at the relationship between, the individual and the business. Mm-hmm. So, you look at the type of work they're performing, is the individual, the work they're performing, is it an important part of the business? Who's deciding what that individual is doing as part of their role, how much they're being paid, where and when they're performing this work, who's providing the tools, whether or not they can, get rid of them. All these things are really going to be what's going to show you whether or not someone's an employee. But, we can look at it from a different lens as you mentioned, you mentioned someone who is sort of an intern or a trainee, right? But you have to look at it from... let's call a spade, right? That's the way I see it. Whether or not someone's an intern or a trainee, whether you call them an intern or a trainee or a volunteer doesn't mean they're not protected by, employment legislation here in Ontario. If you're receiving training from an employer and you're being trained in the skill that's used by the employer's employees, you might be classified as an employee. Also, as well, as you mentioned, someone who's, training in media, right? You're not going to be classified as an employee if you're working under a program that's approved by a college or university, you're under a career colleges under very certain circumstances. So if you're placed there, you're a secondary student in high school and you're working at a co-op, right, you're not an employee. But, you have to really look at sort of, call a spade, right? And so when we look more at volunteers, right, and we look at sort of what that is, there's no real definition in a lot of employment law about what a volunteer really truly is. But there are certain things that will show us quite clearly, what's what. So we look at, the extent to which an individual views it as in pursuit of their livelihood, in pursuit of making money. You know, whether there's an imbalance in bargaining power, which there obviously is here between, you know, the pharmacist was seeking, and whether a benefit is conferred, you know, is given to the organization as a result of them working there. So I think it's pretty obvious here that this person is not looking for a volunteer. And I think it's very clear that this person wouldn't be classified more than likely as a volunteer either. And there's a very popular, you know, it was in the media, you know, quite recently about another company that sort of tried to do this. And some of your listeners might be quite familiar with that. It's a company called S-Trip. And so S-Trip is a company that basically works with high school students to put on like trips for the end of high school for seniors, high school seniors, right? And in that case, there was these individuals coordinating these trips, you know, down to the Caribbean and whatnot, and bringing their whole class. And some of these people were working, you know, very diligently to bring their friends down to the Caribbean. But, you know, there was a settlement in that case. So, you know, there was no actual law that was created. But the point is that this isn't the first time companies have tried to do this. But I will say, you know, it's pretty bold to see, you know, a company that like Loblaw is doing something in the middle of such a, you know, tumultuous times, right? So.
Now, what happens if a volunteer gets hurt on the job?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really going to depend on, you know, whether or not they're deemed an employee or not. If they're deemed an employee, then the company is going to end up being liable. And if they haven't paid into WSIB and different things like that, you know, there's going to be problems. You know, if they're not an employee, then it would be just like as per normal, you know, as if you went to a store or anything like that. But realistically, if they're classified as an employee, there's going to be major problems, especially if they've been misclassified, right? And the company hasn't been paying into certain requirements for an actual employee. There's definitely liabilities for the company if they're misclassifying people that are, you know, performing work under their roof. There's a lot of different, you know, things that come up in this scenario, right? So, I mean, I would say that if you're going to misclassify somebody, it could result in significant legal repercussions, right? As you mentioned, you know, if they haven't been, you know, if somebody gets hurt, right? We have legislation that protects people as far as health and safety is concerned, things like that. You know, they might have to pay back pay, wages, fines, things like that. And the Ministry of Labor could step in and say, hey, what you guys are doing here is just simply not good. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was just going to say, and there's a whole slew of other problems too, right? I mean, if you're requiring people to perform unpaid work, especially under the guise that this pharmacist said, you know, gaining experience, right? But stuff like this really disproportionately affects, you know, people on the margins of society, mm-hmm. right? You know, immigrants and young workers, and there's, you know, potential human rights violations there as well for making people perform unpaid work, right? And so if these companies are misclassifying people and they're not complying with labor laws, like I said, there can be tons of different things that can come up. And there's also, you know, companies might say that people are also independent contractors. That's a whole different sort mm-hmm. of can of worms as well. But, you know, that also has implications as well. And so the issue here is that, you know, what it boils down to is that you can't be misclassifying people, because people that are employed in the province of Ontario are required to be paid a minimum wage, right? And so that's what it boils down to. That's why minimum wage exists. And in this case, you know, volunteer positions, as we see in the normal sphere, are typically limited to specific sectors. You know what I mean? They're nonprofits and they're charities, where the primary purpose of the work is, you know, we're not going to make money. It's not for profit.
Right. Travis, we have to leave it there. We're out of time. But thank you so much for your insight into this. It's such a wild story. That was Travis Carpenter, employment lawyer and associate, and Samfiru Tamarkin, LLP. When we come back, we've got another big story. Sex assault survivors livid over delays to proposed justice bill. Stay with me. Lots more to come.